Hi, Josh. Welcome back.
Yeah, hello.
Labor has cut the fuel excise, comes in from Wednesday, but is it going to immediately translate into cheaper petrol for us today?
Look, it does depend where you are living. So we had a story this week. We spoke to the peak body for the fuel industry. It's a very long acronym, the Australian Convenience and Petroleum Marketers Association. Their chief executive said to us, so essentially the way that the excise works is the companies pay it when they sort of buy it from the wholesaler or further up the chain, right? So it's not like a tax that's put on at the bowser, for want of a better explanation. And these fuel supply, I've learned a lot about fuel supply lines and some, these sort of markets.
You've become an expert.
Not quite an expert, but sort of a bit less of a non-expert than I was a few weeks ago. The fuel company's chief executive is saying for some of the very busy metropolitan sites where they're going through a lot of fuel all the time, they might turn over their tanks every couple of days or something, the fuel they buy with the cheaper excise will filter through to your fuel tanks to the bowser within a couple of days. If you're in a remote area where they've got less volume or a regional area, it might take a week or two. The Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, he was speaking on Tuesday and he said a very similar thing as well, that essentially people shouldn't expect to wake up Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, whatever day it is, early in the week, and that you'll have very cheap fuel, right? The fuel's going down by 26.3 cents a litre. You might not see that immediately turn up, but at some point in the next couple of days, week or two, your fuel should dip down a little bit more. The obvious caveat being oil prices might still keep going up, so you might not see that much of a dip. The fuel excise might go down by 26 cents, but the price of an oil barrel is probably going to go up in that time too.
Wow, so no guarantees. What about diesel though? Because we have a real shortage there.
I think a very similar thing. So we will expect to be seeing a little bit cheaper diesel at the same time, but I think probably very similar as well on this.
There's criticism here that it doesn't really help with the core issue, and that's demand, people panic buying.
Yes.
Could people potentially see lower prices and then start buying even more petrol and we come back to this same issue?
This is exactly the problem with this, and this is, I think, a very obvious problem. The government's tried to sort of gloss over a little bit in the last couple of days a very clear question to the government on this after they announced it to the Treasurer, to other people, is you're saying that Australia has all this supply, we've got more fuel supply than we had at the start of the US-Israel war in Iran. The government has been saying all along, it's a demand issue, it's a demand issue, it's a demand issue. Well, what happens when you lower prices? It raises demand, doesn't it? I was sort of thinking about this. I'm not sure. Obviously, people are listening from all over the place. I'm not sure what the petrol's like where you are, Regid. But, I drove past my local petrol station yesterday. I think I paid, $2.50, $2.60 a litre. I can't remember what the price was. If we're dropping petrol excise by 26 cents, that's, about a tenth, 10%. Would people just buy 10% more petrol if your petrol's 10% cheaper? I think that's kind of sort of expected sort of economic response. There have been a lot of quite high-profile, very mainstream, very respected economic commentators, people like Chris Richardson, people like Richard Holden, saying, well, this is going to stimulate demand. Unclear if it will be that exact, price go down by 10% and then demand goes up by 10%, but there is going to be that effect on demand almost surely.
So what's the political calculation then? Why would they do this? Because just last week, they seemed a bit uninterested in cutting the fuel excise.
Yeah, well, I think it's all politics, isn't it? I mean, Tuesday last week, Jim Chalmers got a couple of questions from crossbenchers, from people in the opposition saying, why would you cut the fuel excise? Chalmers was asked, why would you do it, by Rebecca Sharkey, who was a South Australian independent MP from the Centre Alliance, but, a crossbencher MP. And he said, that's not in our consideration at this point, not one of the things we're considering. That was Tuesday. By Friday, Angus Taylor, the opposition leader, they were calling for a cut to the fuel excise. By Monday, the government had done it, right? Even on Friday, when Albanese was asked, Angus Taylor is calling to cut the fuel excise, will you do the same thing? He didn't rule it out. He very pointedly didn't rule it out. He kept it in his back pocket. There were government people at the time saying, look, he didn't rule it out. So it was very much being kept alive as an option. But the question you ask about why now, I think it's all political. I actually wrote, I didn't expect this to happen so quickly. So on Sunday, I wrote a column that went out on Monday talking about the fuel excise. And I said, it might be a break glass in case of emergency political moment for the government.
And then they broke the glass.
if they're feeling under pressure, if they're feeling as though the politics are getting away from them a little bit, then it's a very easy sort of campaign the government can run. And we've already seen it, right? Moments after the announcement was made, all across social media, all across the government MPs' accounts, we're cutting the price of fuel by 26 cents because we know Australians are doing it tough. So it's more of a... My interpretation of it, at least, is even though they know it's not great policy, they know it's not going to do anything for the demand issue, which they're saying is the biggest issue in the fuel saga, it's not going to do anything for demand, but it will help people maybe lower their bills just for a little bit. Like I say, it's probably going to be eaten up in the oil prices continuing to go up, the fuel prices continuing to go up, but maybe it's worth it for that pressure valve relief.
So this might be a little bit of action to help in a small way. I do want to get onto the big picture plan that the government has, that four-stage plan. But just before I do that, a lot of people are at the point where they're planning Easter holidays. They might be wondering whether they should cancel them. And the government's telling them, have your Easter holiday trips. It feels a bit counterintuitive.
Yeah, definitely. It is really interesting, and I think it makes sense if you think about they don't want this to be a COVID-style situation. I know a lot of people are talking about COVID and making comparisons to COVID and, oh, we'll have to stay at home and not go out and that sort of thing. The government doesn't want people to think like that. Albanese has talked about COVID more from like a government coordination point of view of, you know, here are the things that went wrong in COVID when all the governments, state and federal, went different ways. We need to have, learn the lessons of COVID, basically, is what he's been saying. And obviously COVID was a health emergency, a pandemic, millions of people died. It was also an economic disaster as well. We saw the productivity crash. We saw the dollar crash. Massive amounts of government relief had to go out the door to keep industries propped up. The government is really keen to not see this also become an enormous economic issue as well. They don't want people to suddenly not go out and spend money. They don't want people to not go to the restaurant or to the cinema or to the shops or to take their holidays to tourism spots, right? Because a lot of these tourism operators bank on the big holidays, Easter, Christmas, New Year's, whatever, to pay their bills through the year. They don't want all these little holiday towns all over the country, you know, where people go camping or do their beach holidays or whatever, to tank because people aren't driving. So yes, people will have to spend more to go to buy the petrol, and obviously not everyone's in that position. You might not have the extra discretionary funds to afford the more expensive tank of petrol, but they're saying if you can, if you have the means to, if you can afford, take your holiday. There's no reason not to. We've got supply. I think, you know, if people were planning a holiday, maybe you plan a little bit better about where you're going to fill up and when you buy, and, you know, fill up with a full tank of petrol before you leave home rather than driving off with a half tank or whatever. But the government is very keen for people to keep spending money, to not, I guess, sort of withdraw in the way that we did in COVID, because we're not having lockdowns. We're not having fuel rationing at this point. We're not having, you know, stay at home orders and don't leave your suburb sort of 5 kilometre limits and that sort of thing. Mm. They're worried about the economics of this too.
So we might be in an oil shock, but the government's trying to soften an economic shock by the sounds of it. Mm. Let's take a look at this four-stage plan, because it's a really concrete roadmap. It tells us where the government might go. They've said we're in stage two. Can you just give us an understanding of what it would take to get into really targeted action like fuel rationing in this particular plan?
Yeah, it is a really good question, and we don't have that exact answer yet, because this plan, there's a lot of stuff in it, a lot of ideas, but it is relatively vague, and I think that is by design. If people want to look at the plan, it's on the Prime Minister and Cabinet Department's website, pmc.gov.au. But people might, again, like I make the comparison to COVID, there was obviously a lot of roadmaps and documents and plans and flowcharts and, you know, whatever's in COVID about here's what happened, you know, we're going to move to this stage of lockdown when we get to this many cases and that stage of lockdown and that. They don't want that sort of plan. They don't want people like looking at their fuel tracker websites and going, oh my God, the numbers of stations out of fuel are up today. That means we're going to be going into lockdown. They don't want that sort of thing. So like you say, there's four levels of the plan. Level one up to level four, which is the more serious. So we're at what they're calling level two, which is, they describe it as, fuel supply continues to operate effectively, but localized supply disruptions occur. We haven't got like a metric. It's not like, you know, if we lose this many days of fuel or this many petrol stations go offline, we're going to move to stage three. It's nothing like that. What they're saying though is, to move to stage three, it would have to be ongoing supply disruptions that's left very vague at this point. And I think it would be up to, you know, probably a whole lot of different factors, how much fuel we're getting in, how much fuel we're producing here locally, if our fuel supplies are being run dry, if, you know, there's anarchy in the streets and, you know, Mad Max style petrol wars and that sort of thing. We're going to move to the higher levels. But at this stage, we're at level two. The government says we're substantially away from level three. And I would say we're even further more substantially away from level four, which is, again, about more ongoing supply disruptions. But that is where we're expecting rationing would potentially play a part. So we're at level two. Rationing might not even come in at level four, but if it was going to come in, it would be at that level four.
What confuses me is the government seems to be very much into voluntary action at this point.
Mm.
But some experts are saying, until you do this sort of targeted fuel restrictions, you can't deal with the nub of the issue, which is we need the supply to last.
Yes. I think that's entirely correct. And I think at this stage, a lot of this really comes down to factors that are outside anyone's control, apart from if you happen to be sitting behind the Oval Office desk of the President of the United States. Like, so much of this all comes back to how long the war, the Israel-US war on Iran goes for, and how long supply through the Strait of Hormuz is affected. And even then, once that, if the war ended today, right, if the war ended 2 minutes from now, there's going to be this long tail of supply disruptions, because these supply chains are very long and complex and things take a long time to sort of flow around the world. The government, I think at this point, if I'm sort of reading between the lines and reading the tea leaves a little bit, I think they're hoping they can sort of like just sort of skate their way through this, pick up bits of supply around the world and sort of, yes, it'll be tough. And yes, people might have to pay more for the fuel for a while and that sort of thing. They're hoping there won't be big long-term disruptions to not just commuter cars and, you know, you and me filling up our petrol at the Shell service station or whatever. There's so much worry about food, agriculture, fisheries, construction, all these big industries that, number one, take a lot of diesel to do what they need to do. But also things like construction, right? There's all these like knock-on effects. It takes a lot of diesel to run a quarry, and the quarry that digs up the stone or the sand or the whatever to go into building materials for your house, fertilizer that you need to plant crops, diesel that you need to run the machines that harvest crops and, you know, diesel for fishing trawlers, for seafood. I think there's a real hope that they can sort of just like squeeze their way through it and not have to go to anything more mandatory at this stage, which is why they're sticking with the voluntary stuff at this stage. And again, remember in COVID early times, it wasn't like lockdown straight away. It was like, oh, you know, stay 6 feet apart and wear a mask and work from home where you can. And then when it got really bad, they're like, okay, we have to like pull the trigger now. I think that's where we're at this point. They don't really want to go back to COVID style mandates. We don't want that sort of thing. Hoping we can get through it with voluntary mandates and, you know, some extraordinary government powers, right? The government underwriting the purchase of fuel and fertilizer and those sort of things. It'll be tough. They're hoping to just get through it.
Which means it essentially perhaps helps us be the highest bidder for it.
Exactly right. So where there's a lower amount of supply on the global market, prices are going up, people are bidding large amounts of money for a more limited amount of fertilizer, fuel, petrol, diesel, whatever it is. The government is hoping to help those suppliers obtain that stuff in the first place. There's even some new rules where the government can sort of go out and bid on stuff off their own bat and then sort of supply it through to suppliers and that sort of thing. So it's like sort of, you know, relatively extraordinary powers that are rarely used except in quite extraordinary circumstances like this.
We'll be right back.